I'll be reading Corinthians 2:4-18. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day, for our light is in momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal.
Thanks, Colby. Good morning, church. That's a long reading. We went through it perfect, man. That was awesome. It's great to be with you this morning. It's no secret that I love vehicles. I love trucks. I love cars. I love motorcycles. I love e-bikes. I like e-bikes better than I do the ones you have to pedal. I love anything with a starter switch on it. Anything that'll get you from one place to the next, airplanes, helicopters. But to me, one of the most amazing vehicles that human beings have ever created is the rocket. Because of all the other vehicles we have, they get us from one place to another, but a rocket can take us somewhere besides this earth. Somewhere other than this earth. And almost all rockets have the same similar format. they stack engines or stages on top of each other. And then whether it's the Saturn V rocket that took the astronauts to the moon, or the Atlas V rocket that took the two rovers to Mars, they almost all start with stage one, the motor number one, the big one at the bottom that gets them off the launching pad, gets them up in the air and gets them going. And then when that stage is spent, when that motor is burned out, stage two kicks in and that takes them up into orbit around the Earth. And then once that reach orbit around the Earth, stage three finally kicks in and sends them, whether it's to the moon to take astronauts or whether it's Mars to take rovers or wherever it may be. Most rockets have this same technology where these three stages get them to where they're going. And that's what we're going to use, that kind of as a model this morning for how God has equipped us to get through the tough times. Devin mentioned it in his announcements and in his prayer. We've been kind of a difficult season for the congregation here, the church family as a whole, for many of our church family individually. And we're reaching this human construct that is January 1, the new year, and the calendar switches and the ball drops and all that happens. And so what do we do? Jenny and I were talking, what do we do? What's the message for our church family as we cross this human line, but this line that we mark that says there's the end of something and the beginning of something else? What can we share together as a time in God's Word that will help us to find perspective in 2025 and help us find purpose in 2026? And Lord willing, this is what I've come up with, and I hope it speaks to you. I hope it speaks to all of us. But this is the idea of how to get through the tough times. I doubt many of us here will ever get to experience what it's like to travel on a rocket. I hope you do, but I doubt many of us will. But I suspect most of us here, maybe all of us, but most of us here have at least once in our lives wished we could escape the bounds of Earth. Maybe not the gravity of Earth or the atmosphere of Earth, but the tough times that come with being citizens of this planet. Just the fact that we're citizens of the earth means that there's times when we're going to have difficult seasons. There's times when we're going to have hardship. There are times when we're going to wish for something to break us free from that struggle, break us free from the hard times. And so we're going to use these rockets kind of as a model to look at God's Word and see how God's Word gives us strength to deal with the hard times, to break free from the hardship that just sometimes is just life in general. We're going to look at it in three different stages, three different rocket motors, if you will. And so what is the rocket motor? What is the stage that gets us off the ground? When we're trying to deal with adversity, when we're trying to face hardship, what tools has God given us that gets us off the launching pad, that gets us started? And the first one's home. Home is the first stage for strength. Strength for the hard times. We're going to go read from Romans chapter 8 in just a moment. If you want to open your Bible there, you'll be ahead of the game. Romans chapter 8, we're going to start in verse 18. It will be on the screen, but I'd love for you to open your Bibles and read with me. And if you thought, when you saw the word home, if you thought like I did, the first, like many of us do, the first thing I thought of when I saw home was 13419 South Poplar Street. That's fine, but really we're looking at a different home than that. Romans 8, beginning in verse 18. Paul writing to the church in Rome, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of light. Let's stop there. Suffering is a very real problem. If we're citizens of this earth, if we live on this planet, we are going to experience sufferings. And if you look at verse 18, in the very first part of verse 18, we're told that humanity is subjected to present sufferings. As Paul writes these letters to the church in Rome, there's a plot to murder him. Paul understands what it means to speak of present sufferings. And as he's going to Jerusalem, there's prison and even more hardships that face him there. Acts 20 tells us about that. The Christians in Rome are preparing, or whether they know it or not, they're preparing to face Nero's persecution. And so the author of this letter is writing as someone who knows what it means to suffer hard times, writing to a church that has some knowledge and is going to gain even more knowledge of what it means to suffer during the hard times. And then you skip down to verse 20 and we're told that not just human beings and humanity, but creation suffers hardship. Creation is subjected to frustration. Some of your translations say futility. Started when Adam and Eve brought sin into the world. When they decided to rebel against God, they opened the door to sin. Sin came in. And now, God, we're told in Genesis chapter 3 that God told Adam, cursed is the ground because of you. Suffering is a very real problem. The good news is glory is a very real promise. Verse 18, the future holds the promise of a glory not yet unveiled. So Paul has, just immediately prior to the passage we read, we started in verse 18. If we started back in verse 14, we would have seen that believers who are led by the Spirit are already sons of God. That's what it meant when he talked about seeing the sons of God in verse 18. So there's a sense in which believers who are led by the Spirit are already sons of God. There's already an adoption taking place. We're already adopted into God's family. We're co-heirs with Christ. We are. Our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We're given the gift of the Holy Spirit as a guarantee, promising our inheritance to come. All of these things have already happened. So there's a very strong sense of the already in terms of our salvation process. But it's not yet real. In the future glory, these light afflictions that we're talked about in 2 Corinthians 4 means that the eternal glory is waiting in heaven. So there's already a process started, but we still have hardship. We still have difficulties. We talked in our class this morning about Satan. Satan's still very much an enemy that prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking for those to devour. He's still here. So the process has started, but it's not finished yet. There's a promise of a glory in the future. And the promise of the glory in the future is the promise that, among other things, all the struggles that we face in this life are gone. In fact, all the struggles we face in life are no longer a distant memory. They are totally done away with. Revelation 22, verse 3, no longer will there be any curse. This is when salvation is complete, glory is finished. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. Paradise that was lost when Adam and Eve sinned is now paradise gained in our eternal home, our true home, the home we were created for, our home in heaven. So you and I, when we face hard times, the very first stage of getting off the ground and dealing with it, the very first part of coming to terms with a difficult season is to realize that we have a true home and our true home is in heaven. We're told in Scripture that we have a Savior that can sympathize with us, one who's been tempted in every way. And I find that fascinating. It's just an amazing thing to think that God the Son, an eternal being who has always been in perfect harmony with the Father's will, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, have been so much in harmony that we can speak to Him as God one in the Godhead, that same Son would come down to earth and take on human form, not just so He could experience being tired and being hungry and being frustrated and being angry, not just so He could experience that, but so that He could be tempted in every way. That word tempted is amazing. It's not just that Satan dangled some sin in front of Jesus and Jesus said, thanks, but no thanks, I'll pass. Satan dangled some sin that tempted Jesus, that He wanted to accept, and He still said no. The promise of that is, the truth of that is, we have a Savior that knows exactly what we're feeling like when we're going through the tough times. We have a Savior who knows what it's like to be tempted. We have a Savior who knows what it's like to weep when He hurts. We have a Savior who knows what it's like to be rejected, who knows what pain feels like, who knows what bleeding feels like. We have a Savior who gets it. And the promise is He's gone home to prepare a place for us, John 14. He's gone home to prepare a place, and he promises if he does that, and since He's done that, He will come back and take us and get us to be with Him. We need to know and remember that this life is simply a preparation for the life to come. This is not home. This is our wilderness wandering. Just as the Israelites wandered through the wilderness for 40 years before they came to the promised land, this is our wilderness wandering preparing us for our promised land. But we have a home where the struggles of this life are done away with. In this new paradise, the struggles that we face now will not only be a distant memory, they'll be ancient history. The Garden of Eden, the paradise that was lost, is restored. And Jesus has prepared a place for us to come home to Him. So the first stage of strength, the first step of getting off the platform and dealing with hard times is home, our true home, our home in heaven. Second stage, the one that gets us in orbit, the one that gets us going, is hope. Hope. Let's go back to our text, Romans 8. Let's pick up where we left off. Let's start in verse 22. Romans 8, 22. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Notice how many times hope was used in that passage. We know that the whole creation is groaning as in the pains of childbirth. Scripture deals with hardship. Scripture deals with difficulties. And with the word that's used here to express hardship is the groaning. This the groaning, agony, anxiousness, pain. Pain's a very real problem. Verse 22, creation groans as if in the pains of childbirth. The planet experiences pains, volcanoes, hurricanes, tsunamis, earthquakes. Animals experience suffering, predation, starvation, and even extinction. So creation groans, verse 22, and Christians groan, verse 23. Christians groan in anticipation of redemption. The already, the not yet. So the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit we receive when we become Christians, is this first fruit, this first installment on the pledge of complete salvation that is to come. But yet we still groan, we yearn, we eagerly anticipate the fulfillment of our salvation. Pain is real, but adoption is a very real promise. Second Corinthians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1, believers who receive the gift of the Holy Spirit receive Him as a deposit who is guaranteeing what is to come. I love the language God uses here. Yes, we can lose our salvation. Yes, we can rebel against God and tell him we no longer want to be part of his family, and if we force him, he will accept that. But God wants us to go through life as faithful believers, confident of our home in heaven. That's why he uses this language, guaranteeing, a deposit guaranteeing. 2 Corinthians 1:22, Ephesians 1:14. He wants us to go through life confident in our expectation of a home in heaven. Hebrews 11:1. But while we're confident of a home in heaven, we're still shackled in this physical body. Not all about you, but I noticed that mine is, as the birthdays add up, tends to wear out. The body gets tired. The tent begins to fray at the edges. The seams begin to come loose. The seal begins to break, and the water leaks in, and the tent begins to fall apart. So our hope is not based on the measure of salvation we've already received. Let me qualify that. You know, the church, the early church struggled with the idea, are we already experiencing heaven? Is this as good as it gets? Are we already there? And Paul had to address that. All these things are true, adopted, written in the will, name in the Lamb's Book of Life. All those things are true, but all those are simply the start of the promise that comes to be completion when Christ returns. So yes, we have this Holy Spirit who's been given to us to help us walk this walk on this earth, and he's the first installment. But our hope is for our adoption to become final when Christ returns and takes us home with him in heaven, our glorified bodies. I remember Greg Lucas was a friend of mine in preaching school, and Greg was just a guy that was just bigger than life in every aspect, physically, spiritually, his laugh, he could fill a room. And I remember Greg saying, I don't want this body when I get to heaven. So this one's tired. This one's old. This one's falling apart. I don't want this body. And I, as the birthdays stack up, I begin to kind of appreciate what he's saying. I have six different things to plug in on my nightstand, from hearing aids to phone to you name it, just so I can start to function the next day. How great it will be when we get to heaven. And none of these disabilities and these struggles we face on this earth are gone. We won't need surgeries to repair parts that are broken and falling. We don't need eyeglasses. We won't need hearing aids. We won't need those things. These glorified bodies, bodies that are fit for heaven, built for eternity, just like Christ's glorified body when he rose from the dead. Adoption is very real, and that comes to its fruition when we have our glorified bodies. That's our hope, according to this passage we just read. So the thing that gets us in orbit, the thing that gets us away from the troubles of this earth and gets us up in orbit above the earth, that is our hope, our true hope. Living, and our true hope is not living a pain-free existence on this earth. It's not living a comfortable, warm, fuzzy life on this earth. It is going home to heaven. It says in verse 24, for this hope we are saved. For this hope we are saved. Our hope lies in the adoption becoming final, the name written in ink, printed and finished and dried and ready to go. And that happens when Christ returns. And verse 25 says, this is the hope for which we patiently wait. So hope is the second stage that gets us into orbit. And what sends us to our final destination, what sends us home, is help. Help. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Verse 26 speaks of infirmities or weaknesses. Very real. Weakness is a very real problem, not just physical, but spiritual, emotional. Weakness. We're human beings. And as such, we are inherently weak. We have a genuine desire to follow God's will. And even on our best days, when we really want to do exactly what God's called us to do, we want to be at the center of God's will. We want to be exactly where he wants us, doing exactly what he wants us to do. We still have to offer our prayers if it's your will. If we're smart, we're offering our prayers. Father, this is what I think you want me to do. This is the direction I think you want me to head. This is how I see you laying out the day in front of me. And yet your will be done. intercession, verse 27, is a very real promise. And the beauty of intercession is while you and I are trying to discern God's will, while we're trying to figure out how God wants us to operate, and sometimes it's obvious, but sometimes it's not, and we pray for healing, we pray for deliverance, we pray for a relief from the suffering, from the hardship, we pray for things to get better, but we couch that prayer in, and yet your will be done, just as Jesus did in the garden, because we know that we can ask for things that are not in harmony with God's will. We can ask for things that are actually harmful to us. But the beauty of it is the Holy Spirit never has to intercede for us with the words, Father, if it's your will, let your will be done, because the Holy Spirit knows the Father's will. He's in perfect harmony with the Father's will, just like Jesus. And so when we don't know what to ask for, our grief is so hard and overwhelming that we can't put words to it, and we don't know how to articulate, we're not sure. The Holy Spirit steps in and intercedes, and he knows the Father's will, doesn't have to ask if it's in accordance. He can offer a prayer that speaks to us and for us, to the Father. It's in perfect harmony with what we need and what the Father knows, because the Spirit is in perfect harmony with the Father. Intercession is a real promise, very real promise, and so we need to be mindful of our true helper. The Holy Spirit takes hold of our burden right alongside us. We were talking in class this morning about what true friendship looks like. And one of the things we looked at in Proverbs was the idea of carrying each other's burdens. And it's if you could just imagine a backpack full of hardship, rocks, then sometimes being a friend means you carry the other guy's backpack. You take on their weight. You take on their hardships. You take on their burdens. Well, church, God has given us his Holy Spirit. It's a divine helper to help carry our backpack. And when the weight gets too heavy and we can't carry it anymore and we're just looking for relief, the Holy Spirit helps carry the weight. He prays to the Father on our behalf. Despite the difficulties, despite the uncertainties, despite the hardships here on life, and he helps take our burdens right alongside us. Help. So let's find our strength in God's promises. Colby read it for us and did such a wonderful job. 2 Corinthians 4:17. So we fix our eyes on what is unseen, or what is seen, not on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, transient, temporal. But what is unseen is eternal. We look at what is unseen. Some of you may have been around. I know some of you have been around as long as I have, maybe some of you a little bit longer than me. And for those of us that have been around for a while, we remember that Saturn V rocket that sent the astronauts to the moon. And I remember as a young man sitting in the living room in front of our black and white TV and watching that take place and just in awe of the fact that human beings could break the bounds of Earth and travel to another orb and land there. And now we have rovers on Mars and Voyagers even further out into the space. It's absolutely amazing. Those astronauts pioneered the way for what's come since. In a very real sense, you and I can be those same pioneers, not on a rocket, not going to the moon, but pioneers on dealing with adversity, pioneers in showing the rest of the world what it looks like when God's children face adversity. What does it look like when God's children come up against hardships? Do we fall apart? Do we crumble? Do we lose hope? Or do we use these three stages that God has given us to break the bounds of earth and to deal with the hard times based on the promises of God? So let's look to his promises. Let's look to him. Let's lean on him. Let's trust in him. Not only as this year comes to an end and a new one starts, but until he calls us home to be with him for eternity. He's given us the formula. He's given us the engines. He's given us the stages. He's given us his word. And he's given us his promise that one day we'll be in home in heaven, where all the struggles are a thing of the past. I think of the people that we've lost in our church family today. And I like thinking of them enjoying that paradise. I like thinking of my mother with her daughter that she lost when the daughter was 9, Becky. And I like thinking that one day, me and my mother and Becky and my sister, we'll all be together. In a place where the hardships are no longer even a memory, ancient history. I hope you have that hope. I hope you walk out of here today and celebrate New Year's Eve and start a new year with that hope. But if you don't, then please don't leave here and please don't start a new year without it. If you're at home, reach out to us. If you're here, God wants you to have that hope. He wants you to know that you have a home in heaven. And we'd be honored to sit with you and see what his word has to say about your life and his plans for you in the future. We can help you through the tough times. Won't you tell us how? Let's stand. Let's sing.